Hi, I'm Danny Elfman.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Debbie Harry.
This is Chris Steyer Blondie.
This is Ronan Dorzabal from Tears for Fears.
This is Billy Idol.
This is Alex Ebert, a.k.a. Edward Sharp, giving the story behind the song.
Hi, this is Peter Chotti, host of The Story Behind the Song. Each month I speak to some of music's biggest artists to get the inside stories behind their most lasting and iconic songs. Join me for new episodes on the third Monday of every month on The Story Behind the Song from the Consequence Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. Yes, and we are back again with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. As always, I'm here with my brother and co-host, Jake Bushnell.
Hi.
That's it. All right. And today we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, a good friend of my brother's. We've known this guy for a long time. Eric Friedman.
Yeah. What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming down. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. This is fun. I came from Sublime Rehearsals, and I'm headed back to Sublime Rehearsals after straight from here.
I know how that goes. So yeah, so you know, that being said, that this is how we little backstory on Eric and how we know him, how he is here today.
Yeah, I'm here today because of you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming down. But this was years ago, what, 10 at least? 11
yeah,
years
about
ago?
10. It was, yeah, I think it was 2010. It was whenever it was when Lay Me Down hit the radio.
Yep, Lay Me Down, it just hit the radio. Sublime with Rome was kind of just getting going, and you know the Dirty Heads were starting to pick up because the song was doing really well. It was number one on the charts at the time. And yeah, we were starting to just have some bigger shows, and we were at a venue in
Phoenix. Tempe, Arizona.
Tempe,
yeah.
Called the Marquee. Mm-hmm. And I think Eric reminded me, it was the first time we sold that venue out, which for us at the time was a pretty big deal. I don't know, it was like 3,000 seater or something.
It's a little smaller than that. But it was like it was a like way sold out pre-sale, just, and you guys were coming from,
you know,
like
600
seaters, there. Yeah.
Know? So for us at the time, like, that was, we were like, wow,
yeah,
this
right
is great.
Two or so.
And Eric worked at that venue. He was the runner.
I was a runner.
Yeah. So
I got called to take you guys out for like a celebratory like steak dinner.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. They're like, take the band out. You just have to drive them around. You can come have like a nice dinner with us too. I was like, sure. That sounds good.
So yeah. So from there, it just kind of, you know, our manager Cheese, who you've heard on the show, you know, really liked Eric. We all really liked him. He ended up, you know, offering Eric a job to come and work for Sublime with Rome as they started touring. And he's been with them ever since.
Yeah. It was a crazy call because I thought you guys were coming up. So I was like, oh, they're going to need more help on the road. That was like my assumption. And then he's like, I think I got a job for you. He's like, Sublime with Rome needs needs an assistant. I was like, what?
Yeah.
All right. And yeah. And within 2 weeks, I moved out from tour and was living with him out in Newport.
Yeah. Crazy story. So as you know, we've talked about many times on the show with past guests, just be nice, be a cool guy. You never know where it's going to lead. Like, had you know Eric, you know, had a bad day that day, was just kind of a dick and not doing a good job, that would never have, this would never have happened.
Yeah,
none of that would have ever happened. And who knows where you'd be now. I mean, not saying you wouldn't be doing something awesome, you know, still, but you know, be nice to people, and you never know where it's going to lead. It could lead to a whole, you know, life of rad, you know, opportunities.
Mm-hmm. End up in the right spot.
Was the Marquee where Matt Sound, where you met him as well?
No.
He came from Phoenix, but
he was at the Clubhouse.
The Clubhouse, that's right.
But another one of the early sound guys for the Dirty Heads, local sound guy in Arizona, but he was nice.
Possibly,
he was cool.
Yeah.
And the Dirty Heads picked him up, and he did sound for a while. So, yeah, man. Always be nice. You never know what it'll lead to.
Yeah.
Eric, you know, it's crazy. I met Eric right out the gates, too. I started tour managing for the Dirty Heads because their single was blowing up. Eric gets brought on to be an assistant to Sublime with Rome. And the first show I ever did as a tour manager for the Dirty Heads, I met Eric Friedman. And he's still here today, and he's on the podcast all because he was nice. And then he was also very qualified.
Now they can't get rid of me.
No, he's not going anywhere.
Tried multiple times.
He's fired right now. He's just not leaving, and they're still paying him.
I've gotten fired at least 3 times on tour.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Ugh, you seem so unfireable.
But like,
you're so friendly.
But like fired and then like hired back within an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know,
the thought of replacing
people's blood boiling from whatever I fuck up something. It happens.
It was more like, you're not my friend anymore. Yeah. All right, we're cool. We're
just
cool.
Kidding. You can stay.
Everyone gets fired all the time on tour. That's just it. And then a day, 5 minutes later, you're hired. Yeah,
until you can find someone else to blame.
That's right.
That's pretty much how it goes. But, you know, he's been doing that, you know, this whole time working with Sublime, but he's also been, you know, chasing another path of his. You know, you did your own cartoons for a while.
Yeah, still doing those. I started doing cartoons when I was about 15 or so and just putting them together with friends. We just, like, figured out how to use Flash and started putting those up on Newgrounds and then YouTube when it came around.
That was Tomorrow's Nobody?
Tomorrow's Nobody.
Tomorrow's Nobody.
And then still do stuff under that with my buddy Tony Solano, who's a great artist and animator. And I help on some of the animation side, but I tend to just kind of help produce, write, do some, like, facial animation stuff. But he does 90% of the work.
Nice. But he's also a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And going through the ropes as, you know, going out and did the open mics, just got done doing a tour like we just talked about to, you know, smaller venues with 50, 60 people at them.
Yep.
And going through the ropes. I mean, just like as a small band trying to start out, you know, we did it. We would go and play the bars for nobody. We did it for years driving around. And, you know, and it's very similar, you know, in ways for a up and coming stand up comedian.
Yeah. One of the nice things is like, because I did it in a band too, just the year before I met all you guys, I had been playing drums in like a punk and hardcore band.
I think we got a picture of Eric playing drums. Just so you guys believe that he did play drums.
Yeah. And that you believe that's me.
There he is. Just killing
it. Kept my face hidden. That was fun though. I mean, I just went out on the road with five friends. We threw all of our gear in a van and drove around the country playing wherever we could with any bands that would let us. And that was when I was like, oh, I really like touring. Like, this is fun. And I like being out here doing this and knew from there I could do it. But the nice thing with stand-up is you don't have to get there very early. You don't have to load in a bunch of stuff. You don't have to tear down a bunch of stuff. Because, like, you know, if you load in all of your gear and get set up and then there's, like, no one there, it's already kind of like, ah, fuck. Yeah. Like, but if you go there and you're just like, I just have to grab the microphone and talk, that part's at least a little nicer.
I never thought of that.
It's cheaper to travel with one person. Yeah. Sometimes in a band. I mean, you got five, six dudes and you're making no money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's rough.
That part's rough, but it's definitely more fun to have your friends. Yeah. There. Like, that's always going to be more
fun. It's a little less stressful, too, I would think. I mean, I've never done stand-up, but I could only imagine just standing on stage by myself in front of a bunch of people, and they're just looking at you like, yeah, make me laugh, you fucking dick.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, that was the biggest change was the fact that when you play music, people can just have fun, can do whatever, they can just drink to it. It can be background noise, it can be whatever. Yeah. When you're doing stand-up, there's just one reaction you want. It's just people laughing, and if you're not getting that, it is miserable.
Yeah, if you bomb with five of your friends, like if everyone hates your band, it's almost funny. Yeah. You're like, hey, fuck this crowd, dude. Yeah. But I've seen a couple comedians bomb before. At Gallagher's is a local bar in Huntington Beach.
Oh, yeah, I've done stand-up there.
I used to go. You have?
Yeah.
I used to go every Thursday, comedy night. It's still
going on. Oh, it's been handed down to other people. My buddy Evan Cassidy has been running it for a bit now.
If you're near Huntington Beach, I mean, dude, since I was a kid, at least 10, 15 years ago, Gallagher's has just been putting up awesome stand-up comics every Thursday night. Like, go support it. But I've seen a few people bomb there, and I almost want to just cry for them.
It's and when you know they still have like some time to go, you're like, oh no.
I've seen a first joke bomb and then a 10-minute unraveling from there. We
see it in their face.
Oh, it's tough. It is tough. And yeah, like I said, if a band sucks, you're just like, fuck you. And then you get a drink. No one cares. It's a very different thing. So what was your first experience? Obviously, all this is probably going through your head before you ever get on stage. Nobody wants to bomb. That's the scary thing.
Oh,
every comedian's going to. It's probably life. But what's going on? You're walking to the stage for the first time.
The first time I went up was in Phoenix. I did, I did two things. First, I went and auditioned for Last Comic Standing like an idiot.
Wait,
first time I was on stage doing stand-up. I was 21.
Your audition for Last Comic?
21 or 22. And I had never done it on stage. I had been writing for a long time and this and that. And I just... I was just like, whatever, I'll go down. It's Phoenix. I was like, LA tryouts is where the killers are going to be. I went down. It was like half of LA down there. I had to wait in line for 12 hours, and I was talking to real stand-up comics who had been doing it and going through the ropes, and halfway through waiting, I was just like, I shouldn't be here at all. I'm a fucking idiot. And I still was like, I'm going to go do it.
I'm here.
I'm going to go try. And I got the best compliment I could have gotten. One of the guys was like, you have jokes. Like, and the other guy's like, yeah, this was awful. Like, you can't perform them or anything like that. And I was like, well, I've been writing for a long time, so that at least I was doing something.
Yeah.
And then the very first time I did an actual open mic was in Phoenix, and I got way too drunk and fucked up a bunch, which a lot of people do.
I've heard a lot of people when they're first, they just get tanked on their first time up. Yeah.
Didn't mean to, drank a little too much.
Just went a little nervous.
Fucked up jokes that already weren't good.
I think when you're super nervous, you get drunk easier too. Like, so you're super nervous, and then a few beers or drinks,
and
or whatever,
it's harder to eat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and you keep telling yourself, like, oh, if I just have like a little bit more, it'll loosen me up. And
I'm really funny when I'm drunk.
Yeah. My friends love it when I'm wasted. Yeah, no, but, you know, that being said, I want to kind of lead that into, you know, we always have a subject on the show, you know, something, you know, positive, something that's going to make you feel good or inspiring. And, you know, on Eric, you know, later in his life trying to chase this path of being a stand-up comedian, I mean, that's something that if you want to do that, you really have to, like, go all in.
Yeah.
There's no half-ass in that. So, like, today's subject really is going to be, like, going all in. Like, there's certain things that if you want to do and you want to become good at it, there's no way around it. You can't just be like, oh, on my free time, you know, I'm going to try and get out there. You know, that'll just end up fizzling off, and it'll become a thing that you talked about you wish you would have tried harder, you know, when you were older. So, you know, if there's something out there that you just love and you're very passionate about and you think that you might actually have a chance at it, just, like, think about it. Think if I go all in at this, is there a chance that I could really reach that goal and reach that dream? And maybe you haven't found that yet. Maybe that you know, or maybe there's something really not out there. You've already kind of found it and you're happy with where you're at. But maybe you are doing something, but there's something else that you want to do that you really think that if I tried and I gave everything I had to do this, I really do think I could succeed at this. Hey, maybe try it. Maybe go all in, because that's the only way you're ever going to know. And I think the last thing you want to do is, you know, be 60, 70 year old, you know, just go, man, I wish I would have at least really gave that a go for a couple years at least, you know?
I mean, going all in, it comes from playing cards. So sometimes if you look down at the hand that you have and you believe in that hand, you're going to push all your coins in the middle and go, yeah, I'm going all in on this one. I got some cards here that I really believe in. Same thing in life.
Yeah. Sometimes you're just aggravated with the way the game's going and you're short stacked and you say, fuck it.
That can work, like, sometimes that, too.
I've seen
if
people
you have
win
the balls
with 7-3.
To just throw bullshit down. Yeah. But, you know, like, Eric, you knew that you were funny. You're a funny guy. You've been writing for a long time. Like you said, your first time you tried stand up, it wasn't last week. It was 12 years ago, was that? 11?
Yeah.
Trying to do math.
It was like 12 or 13 years ago. And then I limped in, like, limping in is just like going and trying it a few times. I went and tried
kinda
it a
like
few times.
Kind of like what Daddy
was saying,
touching
your foot in. Yeah, touch the foot in. And then even with getting on tour with the band, I was on tour with the band for 6 years before I started actually doing stand-up. And it was one of the things I was like, I can't give it my all because I keep going out on tour and doing this and that. And I figured out how to do both. And
now you're I mean, you are a stand-up comedian now. Like, that's what you're doing. You're online. You're at the Comedy Store all the time.
Just got done with a tour.
So you're really, at 33, now you're going all in. You realize you can be good at this. There's something here.
Yeah, I was 29 when I started. Like, it was not a week has gone by without doing it. Or just, that's where I started, just solid. And every day we're home, I go out, and every day off on the road, I go and set up a show or hit a mic or do whatever I can, wherever city we are.
And this is all mainly in LA. Oh, wherever you are. So
no,
if you're
wherever
on tour,
I'm out with the band. I've done stand up in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, all over the US. I've done it in a lot of places where I know, like, very big comics who haven't, where they were like, oh, how was Australia? I was like, it was a lot of fun.
It was great.
Yeah, I mean, and different
Zealand.
Things are funny when you're in Australia. Uh-huh. They have different localized shit that you won't even know about.
Exactly.
So that's a tough thing to do. And New Zealand even more so. I mean, that's an island. I mean, Australia's an island too, I think, right?
Yeah.
Just a fucking huge one. But
everywhere's an island at that point.
Yeah, I guess, shit, huh? And we were Pangea at once, and I think that was an island.
Well, I know you've been... when touring with Sublime, you know, mm-hmm. working for them, and they've even had you come and just open the show a couple times.
Yeah, gotten to open a show. I've done after parties with you guys, actually. We did one. Yep. You guys were doing one in, I think it was Philadelphia at the House of
That's
Blues
right.
or something. And, yeah, you guys were up doing stuff. Jared was doing the Sword Beach
Sword
stuff.
Beach.
And
yep.
Rome was going to go up and play some songs. And he's like, I'll go up, but you got to go do stand-up first, which has happened a lot of times. And I was like, they are not going to enjoy this as much as you think they are.
And that's why he's sending.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, you go into the fire first, and then I'll go up there.
Think of how tough that is, everybody out there right now. Room full of people. You know how to play guitar, and you already know songs. They want you to go up and play. That's nerve-wracking. Now think room full of people, and you're just going to walk up there, and you have to make them all laugh.
Yeah, and they've been listening to music and are just expecting more music.
And
you guys
already
are all
fans.
There. They can see you guys.
Yeah. And we're all just side stage.
I mean, comedians do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, basically playing a joke on me.
Yeah.
When comedians have to go up in front of huge music crowds, when you'll see like a music festival, which I think we have a clip of Eric doing.
Yeah, they're fun.
That always blows my mind. I'm like, these are music fans, drunk, ready to party. And it's, hi.
Yeah.
Well, here you go.
You have like 4 seconds.
What's this? Yeah.
Okay, this is Eric bringing me up at the Borgata in Atlantic City.
Eric Wilson?
Eric Wilson.
Eric Wilson from Sublime bringing you up. Is this before or after?
This is before they play.
Before Sublime with Rome goes on.
They had no opener, and they just agreed to let me do it.
Oh, my
and
God.
And they're like, yeah, you can open, go do some time.
The crowd is not informed.
The crowd has not been informed yet. They have no idea. They're expecting Sublime. They get Eric first. So they're like cheering
they
very loud.
Yeah.
They're very excited. And then Eric, gives an Eric introduction to me. And he's been refusing to call me by my name for almost a year now. He's been pushing the name Dirk Fredman on me. And so he agreed to introduce me, but only if he could introduce me as Dirk Fredman. And I aptly agreed.
Dude, let's just see what this is.
Oh,
who's that? Dude?
That's Rome. Rome, LD,
this
Carlos,
is lit
Gabe,
like
everyone's
the long
side
night
stage.
Episode of Game of Thrones.
There's Eric.
My friend and the comedian of our band, Dirk Fredman.
It's a pretty good credit. It's
not bad.
And he says he's going to come out and do a little skit for you.
Oh.
Like, they have no idea what I'm about to. They're just.
What's up, guys?
Oh,
oh
wow.
God.
It cuts out right there, dude. You guys are going to have to buy the book. I don't even know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just
that's
imagine
weird. That doesn't make
having
sense.
To do that to that crowd, the rowdy-ass crowd that has no idea there's a stand-up comedian, and you just got to go out there and start fucking talking.
Yeah, and backstage, I'm nerve-wracked. Like, I was just, like, pacing around. Everyone's, like, calming me down. Like, here, have a shot. Like, you'll be okay. There's posters of, like, Seinfeld and Chappelle and, like, all of these massive comics because this is Atlantic City. And the Borgata's a big spot.
Big venue,
it's only major comics doing it. So I'm like, oh, good. This is going to go really well. And it went okay. It
did
went
you get
very
I was
going to okay.
ask. Yeah, I went okay.
I did like 8 to 10 minutes. And
oh, that's a real
about,
set.
About half of it went okay. And then half of it was a little rough. Once I found some footing, it kind of went okay. But the thing with like, once you get over 1,000 people, when... Even if you have 500 laughing at you, you can only hear the 500 that are talking still and pissed. Like, I could hear a person way in the back somewhere just be like, we want the fucking band. And like,
oh,
that's what you hear. You don't hear
you
the
don't
people
hear the
who
laughing.
Are enjoying it.
Polite people at music venues, it's like, yee-hoo, woo.
Yeah.
And people that aren't polite, fuck you. I mean, you're only going to hear the impolite.
And they find a way to break through whatever tones are going on. But I mean, it was fun. That was my first time like legitimately opening for them.
That is insane. How long had you been doing stand-up at that moment?
That was just this year. It was in January. So that was, I was just hitting 4 years in. And,
a little seasoned.
Yeah. And then I've done like the after parties and some of the other stuff. And then there's a clip on here of me doing literally in between their set and their encore. I took them.
Let's see. Wait a minute.
So you understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I took them off into the wing because I'm the one who takes them off and puts them back on, make sure they're on time. I was like, hey, you guys have time for an extra song if you want to play it. You know, we're on a strict time because it is a festival. They're like, how about you go out and do a few minutes of stand-up and then bring us up? I was like, what? And Cheese was there too. He's just like, yeah, go do it. Fuck it, man.
Like, think about okay. that. No time to wrap your mind around it. Just why don't you get out there and start telling jokes to 50,000 people.
I took my walkie-talkie off and my in-ears and stuff.
And daytime. Prime comedy daytime, yes. Just middle of the day. Just prime comedy hours.
Play Sunfest, about 7,000 people.
Oh, dude, you're slaying him. Yes.
Yeah, that one hit. I was just like, your turn.
Dude, that was great.
And then...
So...
Yes. Look at this.
I mean, you're like the most rock star comedian, though.
That's pretty cool.
So, you got a bunch of laughs there.
Yeah, I got laughs. That one went well. That one actually went pretty well.
I bet when you get laughs, it probably feels good, right, Jay? Oh,
Segway King here is about to line us up into something.
Oh, man, I'm here.
It does feel good.
Oh, yes, and I'm feeling good with Daddy. We have some sponsors, and these are things that make us feel good. And our first one is Proper 12. It's whiskey. Whiskey makes us feel good. If you haven't tried this, do yourself a favor. Go pick yourself up a bottle of Proper 12. It is delicious. Get some shot glasses. Feeling good with Duddy shot glasses. And share a shot with your friends. Would you like one?
Sure.
Jake, would you pour a shot as I continue this? All right. And also, we have Koi. Koi, a product I use every morning. CBD. It's great. Could help you with all sorts of pains that you may have, and any sort of back, you know, issues. Oh, it loosens you right up. They've got a bunch of amazing products. I use it, you know, daily. I love the way it helps me even just like kind of take a little stress off my mood. They've got an amazing new hemp infused beverage, Bava Raja, which we came up with last episode. And it's delicious. And check out their website, koicbd.com. You go there right now. You put code DuddyB at checkout. You're going to get 20% off your order. So you got to do it.
20%. That's right. Awesome.
You can't afford not to do it.
It's almost cheaper to buy it.
That's right. So,
bam, sons.
Cheers. Proper 12. And as always,
smooth.
Another amazing sponsor we have, but I can't reach it. Jake, lift it up.
Which one? This one?
Yeah. Sticky Vapes, another project I use daily. Boom. Always have one in my pocket because I'm on the go and I like to smoke. So I always have one. StickyVape.com. Check it out. Great product, great people, great company. And also a new one.
I use Sticky Vape at the library.
Okay. On it. An amazing product. I just started using this instant powder. It's for like help you with your memory and just to focus. It's great. It's actually delicious too. It tastes great. And then this new melatonin instant spray. It helps me sleep like a baby at night. I'm a tosser and a turner, but not anymore. Thanks to On It.
What? That was really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did they write that or did you just say that?
No, I just came up with it. You know why? Probably because of like the focus liquid, the powder.
I am a tosser and a turner, but not anymore. Thanks to On It. Bam. I just wanted to try it. It felt good. It sounded good.
Yeah,
and
get on it.
All right.
It did. It felt
Derek,
good.
Oh. Did you even mean to do that?
Yeah. It's got to be a slogan for him, right?
Yeah. All right. So yeah, there you go. Some amazing sponsors. Check them out.
What Duddy did was an accident, but me, no. That's what Eric just said.
But one time I want to talk about that I remember from hanging out with Eric is, I think it was like a day off or something.
Yeah,
We were on tour with Sublime with Rome, the Dirty Heads were, and you remember what like city this was? Or?
It was Baltimore.
It was Baltimore, and we had met some cool guys, and they were like, we've got a boat,
yep.
And our friend's got like this island bar.
A friend of mine, Tony Solano, who does all the cartoons and stuff, he's from Baltimore. He hooked me up with a friend back there who like works on people's boats, and he found just a nice couple who's like, we'll take you guys out on our boat.
Be nice. You never know where.
So it was like kind of like a pull up your boat, almost islandy.
Yeah.
Bar, restaurant, but it was like they were having like a nice, almost like brunch.
Yeah, there was families and
stuff
there.
It was like families. And I'm talking like, it might have even been like Sunday. And they were like in their nice Sunday gear, like having a brunch by the water. Kids, little girls in Sunday dresses.
So this is... Who Sublime with Rome and Dirty Heads are on tour.
Yeah, yes. We're on tour.
You guys
together.
Have a day off, and some random awesome person takes you guys on a boat to an island brunch.
And drinking so
it's
much
like
on
me
this
and
boat
Eric
all day.
In Rome and a couple
Andreas,
other
Andreas, brother was there. Yeah. LD.
LD. There was a couple, and that might have been
might
a
spot more in might the picture. Be yeah.
It. I don't know. There was a handful of us there, and we just went and we sat up. They had like this little upstairs bar that looked over the water, and like all the people were eating down there. And we kind of had this little bar to ourselves, and the guy was just kind of whatever right. you want.
I forgot about that bar.
So we just got tanked up there.
Oh,
right?
Here we go. A little.
Here's a picture. This is where the people are eating downstairs.
Yeah. So this is after we were in that bar, and this was another one. They were bugging Rome to play music, and so, he's like, I will, but Eric has to go do comedy first.
Oh, you're just as. You have to, because then everyone's like, if you don't, Rome won't play. Yeah. So now, okay.
So he goes down there, and we're hammered, and he goes down there, and his stand-up is kind of filthy.
Yeah,
he's talking about like
it's not for children,
dicks, and all, and he's just cussing, and he's talking about gross shit, and there is literally like parents like with their kids running out of the fucking restaurant.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know if I have the picture or video of it or anything, but I have seen it somewhere, so it existed somewhere, but there was a lady in the background holding her kid's ears, running out.
Oh my goodness. We were dying. It was so awkward because these people had no idea. They were just having brunch. There was not supposed to be any entertainment.
Yeah.
And next thing, Eric walks out there. Oh, yeah. What about fucking sucking dick, man?
Yeah. And Rome brought me up. So, like, Rome was already there. And then
young child eating a hot dog. He's talking about sucking dick.
And the hard thing is, like, I was only like 2 years in. And when I didn't have that much time of stand up. So, like, I couldn't completely adjust. I was like, I can't go into other material. I don't have other material.
Yeah. You just had to do your
yeah,
your bit.
It's like when you're starting out as a band and they're like, you have a half hour set. And we're like, we only have 20 minutes of music. So we got to figure out what the hell to do for the extra 10 already.
Oh, we had that happen to us one time. We were playing, this is back right when we were starting to tour, and Rome had like just started coming with us because Lay Me Down was taking off. But we only had like the one album and we didn't even really play every song on the album. And we had like a 30 minute set, you know? Yeah. And we were playing a show and it was like up in the mountains somewhere, and we got done with our 30 minute set, and the promoter guy came up, he's like, nah, you have another 30 minutes, you're contracted for 30 minutes, and there's people out here, and if you leave, they're gonna leave, and we're not gonna make the money we need to make like on beers and shit, you know, so you gotta go up and play another 30 minutes. And we were fucked, but Rome was with us, and he just went up there with an acoustic guitar and just played for like 30 minutes, just saved our asses.
Yep. He's always good for that.
Yeah.
So he's had to do the same thing that he's doing to you now, Eric. You had to pull Rome up to save.
We're like, Rome.
Whenever the songs. Sublime with Rome needs a break, Eric, get up there. Yeah. Entertain him, dude.
We just want to hang out and watch for a second.
Give him a hot 15.
It's fun, though.
I had a question, too. Actually, Mark wrote it on a piece of paper and shined it at me from the corner, but... I don't know if you would want to say it. Maybe you're still using it, but do you remember your first joke that you wrote?
I mean, the first jokes I wrote were when I was younger and I didn't do most of them. It's in a folder and I'm glad I didn't. Yeah. I've seen young kids at open mics doing jokes that I'm like, oh yeah, I also wrote that when I was 18, 19, 20, early 20s. I was like, yeah, those are the things you just go through. Mm-hmm. So I got to go through that without doing them on stage. So... jokes. So one of the first jokes I remember hitting when I started doing stand up, where I actually like went and did a couple weeks in New York. It was so bad too. And I'm going to have to try and remember it. It's somewhere in there. We had just met Steven Tyler on the road, and I don't know. That's like one of those people I've always kind of just made fun of in my head since I was a kid for no reason.
Yeah.
No reason. Super talented, super nice guy, like all of that sort of stuff, which I've learned there's so many bands or people I've made fun of when I was a kid, and then I meet them as I get older, and I was like, oh, they're pretty cool.
That's great.
they're nice. I'm sorry.
Well, he looks like a space pirate. That's probably why you made fun of
him. I just said I recently met Steven Tyler. I can now never write off, never meet Steven Tyler from my bucket list. So dumb. Right. Horrible. Horrible joke.
No, that's awesome.
But that was the first one that, like, it hit.
Now I can, no, because he's a shithead.
And, yeah.
That was, yeah. I mean, think by it all was just, accounts.
I think it was just, like, it was in New York. Yeah, other people were like, yeah, I wouldn't really want to meet him either. But it also is this weird, like, almost humble brag type thing.
Yeah.
It was bad. But, yeah, I don't do any of those jokes anymore.
That's pretty good.
Dude, I like that one. Bring it back.
Not happening.
Not happening. I'm far past
the
that.
New stuff I have is pretty good. I'm actually happy with some of the jokes I have now.
How long's your set right now?
I can do 30 to 45 with actual material that is, like, tested and works.
Are you just going for an hour? You're trying to get your
I'm
hour.
Trying to get my
you're
hour,
trying
yeah.
to get your hour.
Yeah, and then, trying to get my hour. I was doing 20 to 25 minutes on the last tour, and so I know I can do that, and I've got plenty of extra. I've done 45 a couple times. Mm-hmm. It started to, you know, not do great towards the 30-minute mark or so. So I know right around where my stuff stands, but yeah, I can do 30 to 45 comfortably and be fine up there.
That's a lot. That's a lot of just talking.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And there's no filler. There's no, like, oh, yeah, like you said with a band, like, just play some music, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You get to talk in between songs.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just talking.
I mean, beyond that, as a comedian, if you're in a band, you write a hit song, you can fucking play that song till you die.
Right.
If you're a comedian, here's what you do. You build up your hour. You start with 5 minutes so you can do local shows, and then you get 15 minutes maybe because now you're going later at the show. Then you have to have 25 to 30 if you're going to go tour with someone and be maybe an opener or split a headline with someone. Then you want to get your hour. And then the idea is once you have an hour of solid comedy, you do a special. Once that special airs, you cannot do any of those jokes ever again. Your hour is out there. Work on your next hour.
Yeah, that's true. That's I never thought of it in that aspect. Like, you can't go back and just do your old jokes.
No. But it's kind of fun in that sense. Like, you guys write a new album every 1 to 2 years pretty consistently. It would be if you could just go out and just play the new album.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, there's definitely songs, and I will not mention which songs because we love all of them. There's songs that we'll have to play for the rest of our lives, and we play every single show, and you're just like, really?
I've watched Eric do it. Eric always brings up Wilson, the original bass player for Sublime. He always brings up new covers that he wants to do in a way, or just other things he wants to do just because he's done it for so long.
Yeah, you know, and it is, and especially for, you know, a band like that, they got so many songs where they almost have to play that you get a couple that you can intermingle. Like, okay, this tour we're not going to play this, and we're kind of getting there almost with the Dirty Heads. You know, we put out a lot of albums.
Yes,
a lot of albums, eight? and from every, you know, album, there's at least a couple songs that we kind of need to play because those are, you know, the fan favorites from there. And then when you're done with that, you got like 3 or 4 other songs you can work with.
Right.
So it's funny how it works.
Yeah. And when you hit those like festival shows where you're only doing an hour, you're like, how do we make just an hour?
Yeah. You throw in a couple, you know, for the band that they just love to play and that they know the crowd likes. And then you throw in, you know, all the favorites, and then you kind of look at that, and then you make sure, okay, well, we at least have one from each album.
Yeah.
You know?
Festivals, you got to play all the bangers, right?
Right.
You got
those
it.
Are your radio singles. Yeah. That's why you're on a radio festival.
Well,
usually.
For a festival, it's different, too, because it's not just all your fans. So
right,
there's a
exactly
lot of people there that might not be a fan of yours. So you're not just playing to your fans. You're also trying to gain new ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to play the ones you know go over well live, and people might recognize. Maybe they don't know who you are, but they'll know that song, you know. And so, yeah, you definitely play a little bit different of a set for a festival.
Perfect example. I brought a girl from my work a year ago to watch you guys play. She's like a punk rock and like heavy metal chick. Yeah. So she didn't even know. I'd say, my brother's in the Dirty Head. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, I bet you probably know a song or two.
Mm.
She's like, probably. I brought her to a show and she knew. She's like, I know that. Every 5 minutes she turned to me, she's like, I know this song. I know this song.
Oh,
I'm like,
nice.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
She's like, dude. And by the end of it, she's like, I love these guys. And that's like a festival
that's a
thing.
Festival
you got to play
set.
The ones they've heard.
Yeah. It's on the radio or something.
It totally works. She came home like, dude, your brother's band's the shit. And she thought she didn't even know who you were. So, cool.
Perfect. That's what's great for festivals, you know? Exactly. And that being said, when we were first up and coming as a band, and no one knew who we were, we'd always make sure we had one or two cover songs in the set.
Oh, perfect.
Right. So people at bars are just drinking, oh, I love this song, woo, you know, and then all of a sudden now they're into your band, you know, because you played a cover song. They recognized it. You tailor the set a bit.
It's another thing I've always been jealous of, music versus stand-up. You can't cover other people's jokes. It's very frowned upon.
When you were saying earlier that you only had a certain amount of time, I was going to say, yeah, and with a band, again, like when they were like, hey, Dirty Heads, you owe us an extra 30 minutes. Maybe you guys know 30 minutes of cover songs.
Yeah.
You can't just steal someone's jokes.
I go up, and luckily I have infinite tour stories. I'll go up and just start talking and telling a story. I can do something that'll be interesting, even if it's not funny, at least.
Maybe we should take that opportunity to perfectly segue into an a segment that we have called One Time at Band Camp.
Oh, man.
Ashton?
And this one time at band camp?
Assuming you have one.
You've got
1,000 billion.
Yeah, infinite, I guess.
Choosing one might be hard.
I listened to Cheese and Rome on here I'm like, I don't want to grab anything that they've done, just a different perspective of it. also, some of them I have to hear someone else tell it to make sure I'm not ratting anyone out.
It's true. People are always like, oh, tell me like a great tour story. You know,
there's not one that's just me.
Tell me a great story. Steven Tyler's a dick.
Exactly.
He's not coming on the show.
I don't think he was anyway. Not enough scarves.
Okay, one that was just actually okay. Here, this was my birthday in Austria. Rome's birthday is the day before mine, and he almost always gets just more drunk on my birthday for whatever reason.
Rightfully so.
Yeah,
it's a good friend.
It's my friend's birthday. I'm gonna get drunk. We were at this hotel in the middle of nowhere in Austria. There was just a bar up at the top of it. So everyone went up there and was drinking. We had to get up at like 5 in the morning. So most people went to bed by midnight or so. It was like 2:33 or so in the morning, maybe even later. The bar was literally just open for us. And we had been drinking so much that everything was just blurry and whatnot at that point. At one time, I think a drink had been spilled, but I'm not sure. And I just remember the bartender yelling at us and whatnot. And I'm just looking at a wet floor and I'm like, I didn't piss on the floor, did I? I was like, I don't know what happened, but we should probably go now. And
what
so
language
we left
is
at
he
that
yelling
time.
At you?
I think he was yelling at us in English. I learned another language. I was very drunk. And that's the next morning, it was the first lobby call I almost missed. I made it down with about 5 minutes. Luckily, the band had all gotten up magically without me calling them and everything, and we went along our way. But that was one of the roughest.
When you see water on the floor and don't even know if that's your piss or not.
Yeah,
you've had
time
a good
to turn
night,
in, right?
That's when you know
it's time to turn in.
So yeah, and if you don't know lobby call for a band, it's like this is what time we're leaving, and if you're not there, you're not fucking there.
Yeah, and
guess what? We're all leaving.
And part of my job is to make sure the band is at lobby call.
Yeah, so if he misses lobby call, that's bad.
Well, someone made sure that Eric Wilson woke up.
No, Eric just got up.
That's awesome.
He might not have slept. It was an early lobby call, but I called him with the whatever gap where I got up, and he was like, yeah, I'm good.
We'll say it was a birthday miracle.
Yeah, it
was. When someone in the SWR camp says, where's Eric? They're almost never talking about Eric Friedman.
Yeah, unless they need something.
Yeah. So then it's, where's Eric? Then you're fired and rehired immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, we have one person in our bus that just loves to miss lobby call.
Who?
I won't name names, but he stands up and he plays an electronic piano.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Tell us more about this.
Yeah.
He one time in New Orleans, he went out with his friends and stuff at night, and It was bus call. It was like, you know, 5 a.m. or whatever. And we were calling him. We were banging on his door. We were doing everything. We were being like good bandmates. We were trying to find him and couldn't. And we had to leave. And he ended up having to get a plane ticket that day to fly to the show and make the show.
Whoa.
And yeah, we were like, well, we got to go. We got to
Whole band can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was in the room. He was just so passed out.
Wow.
So passed out that he wasn't waking up for nothing.
I wish there was a way I could deduce which band member you're talking about. Electric piano type item?
Yeah.
Again, foggy.
Standing, not sitting down and
standing.
You touch it with your fingers. There's black and white keys on it. I don't know the name.
No, I don't know either. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
You're doing a great job.
If you're watching us, he's on the opposite side of the stage as me.
Opposite
side. He's
on
a riser and he's playing a stand up electric piano of some sort.
I just wish you'd get specific. I wish you knew. It sounds like you don't know.
So you can tell us off air.
Okay. Yeah. We should stop here. You obviously don't know. So, dude, so how the hell did you open up for Mike Epps? And what is going on with this dude has opened up for billions of people already, and he's 3-4 years into his stand-up career.
It once again, I mean, everything through the Dirty Heads and Sublime with Rome Camp. One of our security guards has worked with Mike since he was like 19 years old, since Mike was 19 years old, and like taking care of him for a long time. And Mike was playing the Irvine Improv, and my buddy, he called me up and he's just like, hey, come down, come hang out, I'll introduce you to Mike and this and that. I was almost a year into stand up, which means I had 8 minutes, but 3 or 4 were okay.
You're at home in LA, right?
I'm at home. I was living in Huntington Beach at the time.
Okay. And the day of the, when do you get the call?
Yeah, the day of.
The day of the show. So day of the show. Hey. Like,
yeah. Yeah, maybe that afternoon. Hey, come on down. Mike's playing. You know, I get you in, come hang out and watch and whatnot. Like, of course I'm going to go.
So you're just thinking I'm going to come watch?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then you show up.
And then I showed up, and I got there in between the early and late show, and he's just like, hey, he's like, you ready to work? I was like, what? You guys need like a PA or something? We're going to run around? What do you need? He's like, I think I got Mike to give you some time at the top of the show. I was like,
did you meet? So
what?
The early and late show, I don't know if you guys don't know either. Comedians will often do two shows in one night. Do they ever do three? Is that a thing?
Some comics do. Yeah, if they sell out. Both, even in like theaters, it's happened, but yeah, it depends. In most clubs, they won't do a third one because the second one goes too late.
Yeah, so it's got to be hard to be funny the third hour that whole too. That's got to be
that's
exhausting.
A lot of work too. Yeah,
probably
3 hours.
So you go to the first hour, right? He's doing an hour.
Yeah, I came at the end of that show.
So you watch the end of Mike Epps, and then do you meet him right after he gets off stage? Like,
No. I don't think I met him until after he got. Actually, no. I said hi to him before I went on. He was just like, "Hey, this is Eric, the guy I was telling you about."
So
whatever, he's gonna go on.
Can we say his name? The security guard, right? Your friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Sleepy, right?
Yeah.
And he was like a security guard. I remember him from touring with you guys. He's awesome, dude.
Takes care of everyone.
So he knows Mike Epps. He invites you down just because he's a friend of yours, and you were nice to him. Get it? You guys be nice. All right. All right. Is everyone fucking? Are
Ball
we
circle.
Driving this in? Yeah. That's a callback in the industry. Everyone, how we doing? And then so you get a call from Sleep. Come on down. I'm friends with Mike Epps. Why don't you just watch his show? And then you didn't even meet Mike Epps. Sleep just sets it up.
Yeah.
They have my friend Eric to stand up. And Mike Epps is cool enough to just go, fucking go out there.
Yeah. I cold opened, which means that not even a host went up.
I just got
introduced from the same person who's like, welcome to the world famous improv. Here are your commercial things. And they're like, and now this guy.
room full of people that are here for Mike Epps.
Yeah.
Here's this little white guy you've never heard of in your life.
Only white comic on the show.
Oh, dude, this is awesome.
How did it go?
It went okay. I have video of it and I could watch it again. I was like, all right, I did 3 minutes, I think. I did a quick 3. I had maybe 2 jokes that hit and one that ate shit and one that kind of they're like, we'll give it to you.
Was that the last joke?
No, the joke right in the middle was the one that bombed.
Good.
Completely.
If it has to, yeah,
luckily it bombed there. And it was one that I've thrown away since, obviously. But yeah, I was like running jokes by Sleep before. I was like, do you think this might work? He's like, I don't know. Just go.
That's awesome.
And he was standing side stage and he's like, at one time I thought I might have to come out there and rescue you, but then you pulled it off.
Dude, in a cold open. So usually you guys will see it when a stand up comic, you know, there'll be a host and they'll bring on the next comic and they'll say wildly positive things. This is my good friend. He's been on you've seen him on Bing Bing Boom. Give it up for Eric Friedman. And then everyone's like, yee-hoo. No, cold open. He just walked out there to a crowd that's wildly unexpecting him to walk out there. Be funny. No one's announcing you. Mike Epps isn't saying this is my good friend. No one to help you.
And all the people that do Mike's shows are like people from his movies and other people you've seen with him for years. Yeah. Like the crowd knows his
openers.
They
already love them.
So, man, you have just gotten yourself into some crazy situations that, like, I don't think most people in the world would have the balls to do. I mean, that what we just talked about. And then, going out on stage just in the middle of daytime in front of thousands of people before Sublime, that shit just takes some different type of just...
Yeah, it's
the honeys.
It is. You need a sack on you, dude.
I used to have stage fright too. I was terrified of the stage. That was why getting drunk before I went on stage and this and that. Like that's why I did that in the beginning. And I still have some stage fright. Once I'm out there now, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But before, leading up to any time I'm going out, I'm nervous.
What do you drink at all now?
I drink
just a little bit now before a show, maybe.
Yeah, there's a few shows I've still gotten drunk that I didn't mean to or whatever, or it's like I wasn't planning on doing the show and I had been drinking already that day. But I tend to, I'll have like 1 to 2 drinks before, and I'll have a drink on stage with me.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I got with music. Is that where you're at? I would do like just have one beer or maybe I'm.
Yeah, I honestly
sometimes.
Will make
I didn't want a lot.
Cocktail. Before the show, that and I usually kind of just refill it a little bit for the stage.
Yeah,
I had like we talked about it a few episodes ago where I'd gotten way too wasted at that one show. I didn't even know what a guitar was barely. I was just like, why am I here?
Was Eric at that show? Was Sublime with Rome on that? I don't think so.
No Sublime with Rome wasn't on that.
But I've seen that sort of stuff happen.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the episode that airs on Wednesday is the one we're talking about.
Okay.
It's where Cheese punched the guy in Texas. Do you remember this?
I was there.
You were there.
At the Weirdos?
I have a story from that. I was wondering if you guys told that story.
Dude, when we Cheese told that last time.
Wait, how much of the story?
Tell what you're going to say.
No, that's one of the ones I'm like, well, who's talked about what in this story already?
So maybe don't.
Yeah. Exactly.
Shit.
But I can tell one thing from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys talked about someone getting punched, obviously. Yeah.
We talked about everything that I think is bad.
Someone got punched and the cops got called. I got there right after someone had been punched and came up on the bus, on your guys' bus. And I was just hanging out there. The cops came and knocked on the bus door. No one wanted to answer it. So I went and answered it. And the cops were like, who are you? And I was just like, I'm Eric. And everyone just started dying.
he then went into a tight 5 minutes.
Yeah. I just started talking to him. And then... And at some point, Cheese came over, I think, and just started talking to him and telling him what happened. Because I didn't even know what happened yet. I just knew no one wanted to talk to the cops. Man.
We love it because we now have 3.5 angles on this story. I was at the merch booth. He was obviously on stage. And Cheese was punching people.
Yeah, we had come from a Butthole Surfers show.
Boom.
Yes, I remember that.
Bud was there.
I remember that.
Yeah,
back when I was And I remember that. I don't know who brought him, but... There was this like big, it was like I said from the story last episode, it was a Halloween show. So everyone was dressed up and like someone had brought like this big gay dude onto our bus. He was freaking hilarious.
Oh, he was hilarious.
And he was up in the driver's seat of our bus. I'm a conductor. Yep. I'm a conductor. Let me see your decks. Like it was so funny.
That was his whole thing. Everyone that would walk in, let's see your deck. You would just hit him with it. You're like,
I'm the conductor. Let me see your deck.
I remember that getting tossed around on tour for a while. I didn't remember what it was from.
There was a lot of great things. On that first tour, something that someone reminded me of recently. Do you guys remember Hey Look, Fuck You?
No.
The website?
Dude, this is when Instagram first came out and we used to do this on tour. we invented this thing called, hey, look, fuck you. And what we would do is we'd pull up our Instagram and we'd get ready to take a photo and we'd have our middle finger out in front of the camera. And then we would just open the bus window and someone would be walking up the street and we'd go, hey, look. And then as soon as they would look, we'd snap the photo. And so there was our middle finger and them looking at us. And we would just hashtag, hey, look, fuck you. And we started doing it everywhere. There was thousands of them and the hashtag got taken down. It got erased. Jared was in on it and John had some of the best ones I've ever seen. It got to the point where I think it was three left. Some band was on stage and I think it was Jared was all, hey, and the singer, bam, like live on stage. And all it was a start it up again. Hashtag, hey, look, fuck you.
Yeah, you probably just got to get rid of fuck and you can have the hashtag.
Yeah, F you.
Yeah,
F you. Look F you.
You could probably have that.
Probably best. I just said the F word 15 times. All right, good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Feeling good with Duddy.
Yeah. So what up? Anything coming up for you?
Summer tour with Sublime with Rome. We leave the end of this month and we'll be out until August 5th. I'll be doing shows in between their shows.
Nice.
All the days off.
Where do people like look up to see where you're performing next?
You can find me ericjfriedman.com is my website, at Eric J. Friedman on Twitter and Instagram.
Boom. Anything else, Jake?
No, man. I think that pretty much covers it. Just another sweet episode.
Yeah, bro. So, you know, next time, you know, you're just thinking about something that you've always wanted to do and you haven't started doing it, go all in, because that's the only way you're going to make it happen. And thank you to everybody at Reamp Studios. Thank you, Ashton, behind the boards. And don't forget, if you're listening to us on all of your favorite platforms, subscribe and download. And
and give us ratings.
Is that enough, Mark? Is that enough, Mark?
Give us 5-star ratings.
One more time. Spin that music.
Spin that music. And while you're there giving us ratings, subscribe again. I don't know. You hit me. Tell a friend to subscribe and tell that friend to tell another friend, Duddy.
Yeah, yeah. On all the platforms.
Yeah. You know what? Start up another email, get a whole nother, and then subscribe again. Multiple subscriptions per listener.
Start up multiple social media pages and like our page on your multiple social media pages. And the more that you have, the more chances you have to win in contests that we'll be doing in the future for Rad Shit.
Start more pages about our show and just start promoting for absolutely free and for no reason for us.
Yeah, go all in on being a fan.
Oh my God.
Start a fan page. Start a fan page. You know what? You know what? Ashton, keep going. You know what?
Start two fan pages.
Go to cutlassbrand.com and get some gear because that shit's dope. And that shit's one of our sponsors.
Are you subscribing to Eric J. Friedman right now? Are you on ericjfriedman.com?
Look at these eyes.
Are you?
Look at his eyes.
Are you?
How do we know that you guys are take screenshots of yourself looking at the screen and make sure that there's direct eye contact with Eric and send it in.
Then tag two friends.
Give us ratings. Have you guys rated us? You guys heard of ratings? You 1 star, I don't give a shit. If we're 1 star, give it a 1 star. Be honest on the ratings, but 5 stars.
Yeah, if it's 1 star, why are you listening?
That's what is always weird, huh? I hate these guys. Well, you're listening. Thank you for that, Eric. That's true.
Yeah, go all in.